here we are, 2 weeks after Easter. It feels like it's 2 months, but just 2 weeks after Easter, and it was great celebration. We celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but more importantly, we celebrated the resurrecting power within each one of us. That's true, that spirit life, that sacred life that is flowing through us. And so we said yes to surrendering to that something greater that's trying and yearning to come forth from within us. We said yes to letting our light shine. And we said a whole soul surrender to this amazing, incredible awakening that's happening in us and all around us. We also realized that in order to get to the resurrection experience, there are steps that we have to take first, right? We looked at on Easter Sunday, we had to go through the betrayal, the crucifixion, time in the tomb, all necessary steps to lead up to the resurrection experience. And so here we are. What's next? Is it life as usual, same old, same old? Or what do you do after you have a resurrection experience? It doesn't just happen on Easter. It happens every time. You go through betrayal, crucifixion. You have quiet time to contemplate, and then you rise into a new way of being. And so how do you begin to look at your life in a different way? Or is it the same? Has anything changed? I hope it's changed if you go through an experience like that. It's got to change. So how do we step into the resurrection experience? How do we begin to look at our life in a new way? How do we begin to open ourselves up to this new experience that we've had? Because sometimes we might look at our life and feel that we're stuck in some old consciousness, state of consciousness that's no longer serving us well. So how do we begin to see it right? That's what we're going to talk about today. How to see it right. For those of us who are visually challenged, we go to the eye doctor, right? At least once a year, and we have our eyes checked. He sits us down in a chair. He flips all sorts of lenses in front of our eyes to see, do we see better with it or without it, right? And so when he gets to a point of determining that, yes, this is the best possible way you can see, then we can look at the chart on the other side of the room, and we're able to see all the lines, even that very tiny print at the bottom of the vision chart. And so we come back a little bit later, and we pick up our new glasses, our new contact lenses, and we see in a new, clear way. Oh, how simple a process it would be if we could do the same thing to help us see it right from a spiritual perspective, right? But when we get into a difficult position in our life, we sometimes say, oh, I'll just wait and see. Right? Have you ever said that? I'll just wait and see what happens. And what that means is that I'll wait and see what happens in the outer world, and then I'll base my actions on what happens out there. But that's not what we teach in Unity, is it? It is far from what we teach. Because what that does is it puts the circumstance outside of you in control of your life. What's happening to you begins to control you. You become a victim of circumstance and throw up your arms and say, that's just the way it is. Right? How many times have you said that? It's just the way it is. But our teachings invite us and encourage us to go to a deeper level of reflection. Our teachings say, yes, wait and see, and then gain insight. Wait, step back and see what's happening, and then go within and gain that insight from within as to what your next right and perfect step is. And so when we do our prayer work, and when we ask Spirit for guidance, then we begin to see it right. Then we begin to be guided to our right and perfect place, doing the right and perfect thing at the right and perfect time. That happens when we begin to see it right. Then we'll be guided every step of the way. It's a really interesting story in the Gospel of John. The very last chapter, the chapter 21, it's the last chapter of the Gospel of John. And Jesus is after the resurrection, Jesus appears to the disciples. He makes several of these appearances after the resurrection. And, you know, Jesus is still teaching. He is teaching in this specific story about, he's trying to help the disciples gain insight, gain a new perspective. He's trying to help them see it right. And so I want to just share this story with you. And I'm reading from the Message Bible. And it's chapter 21, verse 1 through 6. Jesus appeared again to the disciples, and this time at the Tiberias Sea, or the Sea of Galilee. This is how he did it. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the brother Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. Simon Peter announced, "I'm going fishing." The rest of them replied, "We're going with you." And they went out and they got in a boat. They caught nothing that night. And when the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach, but they didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to them, "Good morning. Did you catch anything for breakfast?" And they answered, "No." And he said, "Well, throw the net off the right side of the boat and see what happens." And they did what he said, and all of a sudden, there were so many fish in it, they weren't strong enough to pull it in. And so there's a lot of spiritual insights here that we can gain of spiritual truth from this story about how to see it right, how to see it differently, how to have a real shift in consciousness. So let's take a look at this story metaphysically, which is how we look at the Bible in unity. We don't look at the Bible literally. We look at how does this story have meaning in my life today. And so I find it very interesting that the disciples now have gone back to their original roles as fishermen. You know, they went back to what was familiar. They went back to what they did previously. It seems like they've forgotten everything that Jesus trained them to do, you know, in the 3 years they spent with him. They out the way. Hasn't that ever happened to you, that you go back to the familiar? You know, we have this huge, major spiritual insight, you know, this huge spiritual shift in consciousness, but we're not really aware or know how to use these new insights. And so no matter how far we are or how long we've been on the spiritual path, it sometimes is easier to go back to what we've always done because it's hard work to take these new spiritual insights and make the shifts necessary in our life in order to really anchor the new consciousness. And so Jesus asks a very simple question. Caught anything? Yeah. Did you catch anything? And Jesus knew the answer. He knew the state of consciousness that the disciples were in. He was trying to shift them so that they would begin to return to seeing it right as he had taught them over the previous 3 years. And of course the disciples said no. And don't you hate it when somebody asks a poignant question when you're in the midst of wallowing in your deep despair and confusion? You know, the disciples in consciousness were outside of the flow of life. They had spent the whole night fishing and caught nothing. Fish metaphysically represent new ideas. So they had not caught any new ideas. Don't you find that interesting? They caught no fish, no new ideas. They had gone back to their old way of being. They had gone back to their old way of thinking. You know, sometimes when we get into this kind of state of consciousness, it's rather bleak. You know, and we feel defeated and down in the dumps. And here comes Jesus, and he gives them a suggestion. He said, "Why don't you try putting your nets on the other side of the boat? I bet there's fish there." You know, what he's doing is he wants to shift their consciousness. He wants to get them to think in a new way. He wants to shift their perception. And so after they shift their perception, they change their consciousness, they take their nets and they throw them on the other side of the boat. And all of a sudden they have this abundance of fish. Fish so heavy that they can't pull the nets in. You know, fish representing new ideas. Nets, metaphysically, represent our minds that catch thoughts. And so the nets are full of fish. Their minds are full of new ideas. And they have this wonderful awakening, this wonderful moment of, oh, duh, I can see this differently. I can see this from a new point of view. You know, they changed their consciousness. They changed the way they looked at the world. And therefore, they began to see it right. They began to see it right. And so, when this happens, there's a shift in energy. You know, they had a willingness to see it differently, right? I mean, why not? What did they have to lose? They didn't catch any fish all night. They were willing to see it in a new way. Eric Butterworth, in his wonderful book, In the Flow of Life, he writes, "We are never farther from the healing flow than our consent to let it flow." And we're never farther from the healing flow than our consent to let it flow. And so it's our responsibility to make the decision to change our consciousness. There's no limit to our mind when we begin to, you know, what we can catch with our mind when we align with the divine infinite creative flow of all good. It's there waiting for us to see it. It's there waiting for us to claim it. You know, it may be just around the door, just around the corner. Don't be fooled by what you don't yet see. There's a wonderful film, I think one of the greatest films of all time, The African Queen. It takes place in German East Africa in 1914, and World War I is going on in Europe. And on the Ulonga River, Mr. Charlie Allnut, played by Humphrey Bogart, delivers mail up the river on a boat called the African Queen. One of his stops is a Methodist Church missionary camp. And one of the missionaries is a prim and a proper spinster missionary named Rosie, played by Katharine Hepburn. Great cast. And Charlie and Rosie are just about as opposite as two people could be. Now, Charlie's harsh and crude, and he loves his vodka. And Rosie is this tea-sipping fine China sort of person. And but Rosie was determined to escape the Germans. And Charlie had the only boat, and the river was the only means of escape. And so she convinces Charlie to take her with him, and they would together escape the Germans. And in this one scene, the temperature is hot and steaming. They've climbed out of the African Queen. They're now in the river because it's become too shallow. And the reeds are preventing the boat from moving forward. And Rosie's in the back pushing the boat. And Charlie's in the front pulling it. And it gets, the belly of the boat gets hung up in all of this mud. And when Charlie and Rosie, we see Charlie and Rosie beyond exhaustion. Rosie is holding Charlie. She's crying. And he looks up at her and says, "You want to know the truth, don't you? Even if we had all of our strength, we'd never get off this mud. We're finished." And then he passes out. Rosie says a final prayer to God, "Dear Lord, we have come to the end of our journey. In a little while, we will stand before you." And she collapses. From the human point of view, we see only despair, don't we? The human view sees exhaustion. The human view sees the end of the rope. There's nothing more they can do. Right? And so Charlie and Rosie asleep. And in the boat, one of the greatest scenes, I think, is when the camera begins to pan back from the boat. Remember the scene? I remember it vividly. And you can see the African queen down there caught in the mud and in the dirt. But the camera keeps going back. And then all of a sudden, you see what they can't see from the boat. We begin to see that just about 100 yards away is this big body of water that would get them to their freedom. It begins to rain. The water rises. The boat lifts out of the mud and begins to drift away. Charlie and Rosie are still asleep, but the African queen begins to drift into this big body of water to freedom. There's always two ways of looking at a situation. We can look at from the human view, and we can see trouble, despair, the end of the rope, exhaustion, doom. Or we can see from a higher point of view. We can lift up over. We can pan back, just like that camera did. Pan back and see the bigger picture. We can see from God's point of view. And when we see from this higher point of view, then we'll be inspired to take our nets, our minds, from one side of the boat and cast them to the other side. See, when we find ourselves in a troubling situation, maybe it's a relationship problem, a financial problem, a business problem, we tend to see only the problem, right? We have this myopic vision. We see only the problem. But if we can pan back, if we can step back, if we can raise ourselves up, gain new insight, see from a higher point of view, see from God's point of view, when if we can see it right, then we'll begin to see that there is a perfect solution. We'll begin to see the good that will come out of even this seemingly uncomfortable situation. And so here we are. What's next? You know, how do we anchor the resurrection experience that we've just had? The first thing we need to do is to remember that life is consciousness lived inside out, not the other way around. This is one of the most important metaphysical truths you'll ever know. So remember this one. Life is consciousness. It's lived inside out. Everything begins first in consciousness. And so we can affirm, I am one with God's infinite, divine, creative flow of all good. So let's affirm this together. I am one with God's infinite, divine, creative flow of all good. We're one with that. One with that kind of consciousness that we know, we absolutely know that we are one with this divine, infinite, creative flow of all good. Second thing we need to remember is in order to shift from this to this higher level of consciousness, a positive, affirmative state of mind is needed. We can't stay looking at the problem. We've got to pan back and see the whole picture and lift our consciousness to a positive, affirmative place. And if you can't do that yourself, ask one of our prayer chaplains to help you with that, to lift you up and to help you remember who you are. You must move to that higher, positive, affirmative state of consciousness. And when we do that, when the truth is resurrected in our consciousness, then things begin to happen. Good things, wonderful things. We begin to move through the experience to the resurrection. And then we can affirm, seeing with inner vision, I claim my good. Let's affirm that together. Seeing with inner vision, I claim my good. And then the third thing that we must recognize is that our goal is not to set things right, but to see things right. You don't have to do anything. Because when we set things right, then we're likely to attack, defend, judge. There's lots of misperceptions that'll fly around. You know that it's never a good place to be. Instead, we want to take a step back and see it right. See, and then we see spiritual principle at work. And we can affirm, what I see and what I think becomes my reality. Let's say that together. What I see and what I think becomes my reality. That's our third basic unity principle. What we focus on all day long, we get to experience. And so life is consciousness. And what we think and what we see becomes our reality. And when we think from that, see from that inner vision, then we'll see our good unfolding before us. And Jesus knew this. And that's why he invited the disciples to cast their nets, their minds, on the other side of the boat, to see it differently. And so let's join with the disciples and cast our nets, our minds, on the other side of the boat. Let's take a step back. Let's turn around. Let's pan back and see the entire picture. Let's see in a new and clearer way. Don't set it right. Don't try to make it happen. See it right. It will change your life. God bless you.